one more minute, and that is, what is the wrong with government and democracy? One of the things that I believe is the fact that we have leaks every day, and nobody knows exactly what's happening. And those leaks are usually currying favour with media, and they're given out by the advisors to ministers. And that in itself leaves ministers in a very awkward position, because sometimes what's being talked about is not going to happen and puts the minister under the cosh, if you like. So ministers should take responsibility for their office that they've been elected to by the people. They're corporate soul in the department. They're responsible for the pencils and they're responsible for the billions. But please, let new governments look back to the old days when local authorities had money to do what the local people wanted in their local area, and they knew about what was needed there. There's a little bubble around Leinster House. It's still there. I hope someday soon someone will burst it and we'll go out into the country and not just have the old pale and those who live in it telling us how we should live. That is the way I look at the future, and I hope what I'm saying and the public representatives elected today and at the next general election will take that into account and fight their corner. The trouble is that if they want to make a stand, they can do it if they come together. Similar situation happened in my time, way back in the 70s, and I called all the TDs of all parties, Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael, Labour and Independents, and I said, what about Connacht? Together, what are we doing? And Fianna Fáil was in government, and I'd get up at county meetings, county council meetings, like others would do, and criticise my own government because they weren't listening to their own people. They had to get in advisors for everything. The best advice they'll get is from the people that are being elected here tonight, by those who get elected to the Senate, and most particularly those who are elected to the Dáil and become ministers. They're the people responsible to the people of Ireland, and we must get back to that situation and do more about spending money where the people want it spent and not handing out billions here, there and everywhere, and nobody is in control of that expenditure. We had 8 health boards in this area, just to give you a final example. We now have one monolith called the HSE. When we had the 8 health boards, and I was honoured to serve in the Northwestern one, there were people answerable to us every day. Now, as I said earlier, the minister, when you ask a question or a deputy asks a question in the Dáil, say, I'll pass it on to the HSE and I'll get them a reply directly. Nobody is in control. And there are billions being spent. I'm not saying it's been wasted, but there are priorities there that are not being met. You on your programme report disabilities, lack of housing, lack of education and facilities for certain disabled people. All of those things that everybody knows about on the spot, and every representative knows, every public, every journalist knows. But there's no money to do it because the bubble won't let it out through the nozzle. That's what needs to be done, in my view, for the future.
There's lots and lots of reaction, I can tell you, coming in relation to your comments. Jerry, do you want to say something to Ray, who you know for many years?
I'd like to compliment Ray and thank him on behalf of the people of Sligo, Ireland and Europe for the amount of work that you've done throughout your lifetime. And it's easy knowing to hear you here today why you were able to do so much work, and with the fighting you still have in you, and fought for Ireland, fought for the people in Sligo, in the constituency in Ireland, and why you're a minister and an MEP and commissioner. And I'd like to thank you for all that work. I think the first time I've come across your name was when my aunt Rosie Kelly, when we were a voting age, and she called out to the house and said you had to vote. And who did we vote for? Ray McSherry, of course. And that was our first introduction to it. And I can see why you did so successful, because you are in fighting form and relation, and you call it right, exactly what the points needs to be made. And I'd like to thank you, everybody. And no wonder where Mark gets from, and the fight for spirit as well. And you've done seriously a lot of work for this country. And so I'd like to thank you on behalf of that.
Thank you very much, Jerry. And I wouldn't have been there unless I had the support of you and your families down through the years. It wasn't McSherry's that walked in and said, I'm an elected councillor, I'm elected senator, I'm elected TD. The people put us there. And I make no apology to anybody for that. It doesn't matter whether it's Micheál Martin or people in this room. We stand by our record. Any McSherry, any Clark, any Liz McReiner. But thank you for all you did, and Rosie Kelly, Lord Westbrook.
Okay, I don't want to give you a big head or anything, right? Just some of the comments coming in. A great listening there to Ray McSherry. Someone else says, Ray McSherry, what a great man and still so passionate. He's a pure legend. Micheál Martin could do with listening to him and learn. Ray McSherry, a man never to be replaced. A man on the ground, a man who I remember as a small child holding meetings in Ballyconnell School in Maharau, meeting the people of the community at regular intervals, not just zooming up to an election. He was one of my heroes always. Ray McSherry, I'd listen to you all day. We need more of you in Irish politics. Someone else says Ray McSherry should run again. He's so passionate. Powerful contribution for Ray McSherry in your show. What a legend. We could do with another Ray in Sligo in the future. You've probably gone beyond that, Ray, but there you go.
I would say that I had another Ray in Mark. He wasn't let do, but he was there fighting. And he make no apology for the fight he put up on many issues. As I said, he was 2 years ahead of the government. So I'm proud of him and what he has done. It's sad that he found himself in the position of what Fianna Fáil did. And we hope in our hearts that the day will return that Fianna Fáil will be representative of the people as it was, and that the people will elect the Fianna Fáil deputies and councillors and put them in there to do what these people in these areas want. Connacht, Ulster was always neglected, even in my time, and we were doing our best, but we still need more. And I'm so sad to see the country and the big expenditure that's pushing back into the English pale that was around Dublin. Even Cork has to fight for money, even Limerick, even Galway, and we're left on the hind tit. I had the German Chancellor here one time in 1980, and I was a minister, and in 82. And he came over and he stayed in the house, and I was making the case for roads, motorways, because the only one that was approved that time was from Rosslare to Belfast, nothing else. And he said he was prepared to double the structural funds twice in that year, which he did in that 5-year programme. And he said, I'm sorry to say that figures here, and he had the figures of every half parish and the populations and the traffic flow down from Dublin to the rest of the country, and particularly the west and northwest. He said, until Cork, Limerick, Galway is done, you're not the priority. But after that, you are the priority. That day has come. And as Jerry said, and Michael Clark, and I think John Taylor, they have said that they want to fight for the N17. It was next on the list. The money was there. And who took it off? Not the minister, but he stood over what the advisors told him. And the National Roads Authority now decide, elected by nobody, when roads will be done and what roads will be done. That cannot be tolerated in a democracy. It is no wonder the people are reacting, not just here, but in many countries in Europe.